chapter 10. The verse number 46. Sister Sherry and I, we love coming to Sparks, Nevada. We love you, Pastor. We love you folks, too. We talk about this all the time. If we ever have to go someplace, this would be one of the places we would like to come, possibly. That's only if we can get the tamales, Sister. God is a good God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. We're going to read a few verses there. It says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude of people, come, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, set by the highway side begging." There was an interruption all of a sudden. He was traveling, everybody was traveling, they're having a good time, and there was an interruption. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" I got a lot to read here. I got a lot to do. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Hey, Josh, we was in Jericho January of this year. And I didn't see Jesus, and I didn't see blind Bartimaeus there. But I brought Jesus with me. Is that all right?
Amen.
Notice how the story changes. No longer was the narrative on the travels of Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd. It was that guy that changed the story. The story starts off saying that they came to Jericho. And then when he left Jericho, his disciples was with him, and there was a great multitude of people chronicling that, hey, there's Jesus. He came to this town, did whatever he's doing. Now Jesus left, and everybody's going with him. But there was an interruption to the storyline. There was this guy that had other thoughts on his mind than just watching the caravan leave. There's a lot of people that come to see a show. There's a lot of people. You can draw a crowd in a hurry if they're going to see something exciting. There's a lot of people that will come around, but there's not a lot of people as willing to become an interruption to some things. Listen to this. Let me give you a secret. Jesus is still here today.
Amen.
Right. He's not left.
Right.
No longer do we have to worry about that. Some people will say Jesus is dead. Jesus is gone. I got this National Geographic magazine my mother gave me, and it says, "Where is the true Jesus?" I thought, man, you have to write that in a magazine? They sent an article writer, or what do you call this person, a journalist, over to all those places to take pictures and do a lot of surveys to try to find out if there really was a Jesus. Hey, why don't you just pick up the Bible and read it in there, save a lot of trouble, a lot of money. There really was a Jesus. And they come to the conclusion, National Geographic, the magazine sitting in my house, in my study right now, they come to a conclusion that there really was a Jesus that lived over there. I said, wow, that's amazing. I knew that already. It's amazing that they go to such great lengths to try to find something that we already knew. You know, Jesus, he's still around, and his disciples are willing to go anywhere he wants them to go. His true disciples. They're willing to do whatever is asked of them, his true disciples. There are still crowds that will follow him just about anywhere you go. Some of you have been to PCC, or you've been over to West Coast Conference. Man, there's a big crowd of people that go there to hear a certain preacher preach and see what's going to happen. They want to enjoy the festivities of the time or whatever. You can draw a crowd with a group there. But I'm here to tell you today, the church here in Sparks is still here in 2018.
North Korea is talking about unifying and becoming peaceful, but they still have the nuclear bombs and they still have an unsteady person at the controls over there. This world is still a mess. Communist people inside of our government is still trying to turn us into a socialist nation, or trying to take away our freedoms, and they're even talking about, and they've passed a bill out of the committees in the government there in California that will outlaw this book right here. It's in the news. They want to bind the hands of the preacher. But you know what? They can do whatever they want to. Jesus is still here. The Middle East is still a mess. But yet Jesus is still here. Every day it's a new story. This is going bad. That's happening. This is happening. But you know what? Jesus is still here. Same old story. The only way, and the only, in order, the only way that we can get the regular story line to change is that we're going to have to create an interruption. You're looking at me, I'm looking at you, and we're still here. I wonder what would happen if someone would get tired of hearing all about what Jesus has done in the pages of his word. I wonder if somebody would get tired of just hearing a preacher preach to us about faith. I wonder if somebody would get tired of hearing the preacher preach about the steps of salvation and would interrupt the storyline and change it just a little bit. You see, our response matters today. Amen. You and I are not just here to sit to listen to Brother Smith sing the songs of worship and the ladies to sing behind him. And oh, wasn't that a good rendition? And it was a good rendition. Your place today is not here just to hear what somebody is going to say or what somebody is going to do. We have a working relationship here. You didn't come just to have to sit right there. You have no bounds to those seats where you're sitting.
That's right.
There's no seat belts. I've seen every single one of them today. There's no seat belts there. There's no ushers sitting in the aisle telling you to sit down and be still. There's nobody telling you to be quiet and don't make a noise. We have an obligation today. If we want to see something different, we're going to have to interrupt the storyline and respond a little bit and see what God can do. We get tired of hearing what God is doing over in West Sacramento. That's where I'm from, so I can use that. River City Apostolic Church, have you heard what's going on over there? We get tired of hearing what happens over in Las Vegas, Nevada, that meeting they just had over there. Oh, man, something happened over there. We sit here wondering why and how come nothing is happening here in Sparks. Let me give you a little clue. Somebody in West Sacramento decided to get involved and try to see something happen themselves.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You believe that?
Yes,
just in case you didn't know this, my pastor was given a death sentence. They told him, Mr. Robbins, you are going to die. You probably have about 6 months. Whatever you want to do, you need to do it now because you're not going to be here much longer. There was a brother, a young brother in our church. His name is Brother Dave. And Brother Dave was told that lump you've got right here on your neck, it started somewhere much lower, and that cancer has spread and has crossed around your heart and has went around your lungs. Young man, you've got fourth stage cancer. A wife and three kids is what he had also at the time. There was a lady in our church, her name was Sister Heidi, still is there. Sister Heidi was told that she had this she had cancer. Breast cancer is what she had. And they diagnosed it. And they what do they call it? They take a piece of it out and they checked it out. Yep, it's cancer. And they said, we're going to have to bring you in for some more tests in this. We're going to see what we need to do. Do we need to remove everything, or can we treat you, or whatever that is? Well, let me tell you something today. It's been more than 7 years ago. It's been almost 10 years ago since they told my pastor that he was going to die within 6 months. And he was at a church meeting back in Louisiana praying for a young 25-year-old that had breast cancer. When all of a sudden, God decided to move on him, and God healed him. And today, still, he has no cancer, no surgery, and he's still alive. It's been 7 years, and Brother Dave has another child now, and he's adopted another little boy, and he's still alive, cancer-free. God can heal! Yeah. Now, Sister Heidi has a unique story to tell. Yes, she's still around, too, and yes, God healed her, too. What is the one thing that we do not like, well, not one, what is the one of the one things that we despise and can't stand? I'm going to answer it for you. Fat. We don't have our schoolgirl figure anymore. All of our muscles fall down into our midsection and things just change directions and look. I have not found anybody yet that says, oh, I need some fat. I want some fat. Can I get some of that? But you know what God did to that cancer with Sister Heidi? He turned it into fat after they had done diagnosed it, checked it all out, and he turned it into something that we hate. I'm going to tell you something. There's a God that's still alive that can make the impossible possible and change the narrative of the story tonight. God can do. God can do.
Yes.
And he's done.
Yes.
And he's still doing.
Yes.
That's our God.
Yes.
We repeatedly hear all these stories about wonderful things that God did. And God was the same God that healed the leper. Jesus was the same God that had stopped the funeral process in Nain and raised the only child of that woman up and gave her back her son after he was on his way to the graveyard to be buried. It was the same God. And no doubt Bartimaeus had heard this story before, and he positioned himself so I can be in the position that when he walks by, I've got a plan. I'm not sitting here and letting him walk out of this city. I'm going to change the narrative. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to respond a little bit. And what did he begin to do? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, hey, shut up. Be quiet. Don't interrupt him. He's an important man. He's got places to go. He's, all of his disciples are with him. All of the crowd is with him. He's already come to Jericho, and now he's leaving. Leave him alone. He said that much more the louder. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now the scripture says in verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You will not make everybody happy when you decide to act on your faith.
That's right.
You're not going to make everybody happy when you decide to act on your faith.
Amen.
When you begin to stand up and worship, they'll say, I wish you would sit down. I want this church service to get over. No, I got to get up.
Yeah.
I got to lift my hands up. Yeah. I want God to know I'm here and I need something from him. Yeah. Woo, I need to run the aisles. Yeah. Everybody else is not running the aisles. What's wrong with that guy? I got a response that I'm going to give to God. I want God to move.
Yeah.
He changes the narrative. Everything about it. What's he doing jumping up and down? Would he please be still? He's making Brother Smith sing another song. I know while I'm jumping up and down, I've got a need and I want him to hear my plea. When we respond. Now I've got two children, and now I've got two of the best, not of the best grandchildren there is. You don't believe me? You hear my wife? She agrees. I got the pictures to prove it. They're the cutest.
They're the smartest. They're just the best. I'm glad you got some too, those that you do too, but I'm glad you do, but mine's the best. Remember that fat stuff? I'm out of breath. But when I bought a gift for my children and I gave it to them, their response did something to me.
Yes.
When I wheeled a brand new bicycle out there to give to my children, if my son was to look at me and say, "Thanks, Dad," what do you think goes through a daddy's mind when a kid goes, "Thanks, Dad"? Take this pipe and give it to somebody else. Yeah. But if a kid jumps up and says, "Thank you, Dad, thank you, Dad, that's the greatest thing ever. I want it, so excited." You just like, "Oh man, let me go buy another bicycle. You're gonna get two. Yeah. You know what? I bought a motorcycle too. I'll give you that. Son, you can drive the car, man. It just changes everything about you. It makes you feel good." Yep. Why? It's because they responded. Jesus was walking by, and everybody else was just following along with Jesus. They were just walking along with Jesus. But there was this one guy that said, "Hey, I want to talk to you. I just don't want to follow you. I follow you. I can't see you. Jesus, I want you over here." Up here, there's a lot of people that's not going to be happy when you act out on your faith. You're interrupting the status quo.
Right.
This service is going to go another 5 minutes longer because you won't stop and sit down. No. Why? Don't get them all excited. You get them all excited, then the next one's going to want to testify. That's what it's all about, folks. When you begin to stand up and says, "I want to tell you something that God has done for me. I want to tell you, I was broke, not broke. I was dead broke. There was nothing else in there. I didn't know when anything else was going to come. And the Lord sent a check in the mail."
Yeah.
That's true. That happens. Come to West Sacramento and you hear the people testify about that. Checks in the mail all the time. Not expecting. Why? Because somebody stood up and testified about it. Somebody says, "You know what? I was broke. And I was broke. I wasn't," my dad says, "I wasn't broke. I was badly bent. But I've been in places where I've been broke." Tell me, broke. Nothing else there to come from anywhere else. And the bills, they just keep on coming in.
Yes, come on.
You know, the things keep coming in. The wife is her illness, and the doctor bills, they're just going to keep on coming in. They don't say, "Well, I'll give you a break. I'll let you slide." No, they don't. They continue to send those bills. But you know, when God steps in out of nowhere. And takes it out, let me testify about, I'll tell you what, you begin to testify about when God did this for you, and this brother says, stand up, says, "You know what, I got a need like that too, and this is what God did. I had a splitting headache, and it wouldn't go away, but I decided to come to church anyway. I decided to lift my hands anyway, and the Lord touched me and took my headache away." Well, let me tell you what God did for me. He creates an atmosphere with somebody else once you get involved. When you come to God, you're not going to make everybody happy either. When you act on your faith, "I'm going to surrender my will. I'm not going to be the same person anymore the way that I used to be." You're not going to make everybody happy. But thank God you're not going to make everybody happy. You're going to make the one that saved us happy.
That's right. Amen.
There are those that will want and that will insist that you settle down. They will try to shame you, correct you, and even quarantine you.
Right, that's right.
"Shut up. Oh, Lord, don't let Brother Josh get up again. Somebody get there and interrupt him so he don't get up again." I'm here to tell you today, not everybody's going to be happy with when you get excited for the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. But I also want to tell you, not everybody wants to see you fail.
Right.
Not everyone wants you to remain where you're at.
Right.
Can I get a witness there?
Amen.
There are those of us that were once blind too, and we want to see Jesus open your eyes.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There was once those that didn't deserve to be in a nice place like this.
And if we wasn't here, you better put two or three brothers around us and watch us and make sure the furniture didn't leave with us when we got out of here. Or something worse like that may have happened. There was those of us there that now we are living in here when we didn't deserve to be in here. And you're here and you're thinking, I don't need to be here. And I don't deserve to be here either. But yet we know what a God can do in our lives. And we know that God can do the same thing for you. We don't want to keep this all to ourselves. There was those of us that were caught up and bound by many hideous sins too. You're not the only one. We know delivering healing power of God's grace.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
From my point of view, I'm going to tell you, keep crying out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus.
It gets better.
Have mercy, Lord God.
The scripture says in verse 49, it's one of my favorite parts right here. It said, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Now this is powerful. Yeah. His crying stopped God.
Thank you.
His crying stopped the creator of the universe. His crying interrupted the travels of all those people. No doubt the disciples are saying, come on, Jesus, you know, we're going to Jerusalem today. You know how far that is? That's over that mountain. That's at least 20-some miles. Lord, it's a long trip. What are you doing stopping right here? We've got to go. We got to go. You see all these people that's following us? We got to lose these people something. Come on, Jesus, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. But there was something about it. His cry stopped God.
Right.
There is one, and this is one of the amazing concepts in the miraculous healing, or even better yet, the salvation power of God. When we cry out, we get his attention.
Yeah,
right.
We can get the attention of God. Now, we don't need to get caught up in the fact like, look at this, I got God's attention. I got God to stop and lose the focus of what we're asking God for.
Yeah.
That's right.
We don't need to get all tied up in that. But second, I want you to notice that Jesus didn't go get Barnabas.
Right.
He stopped and stood still. Follow me here. When we take and fill up the van, we go out, we knock on doors, and we put people on the bus, and we bring them here. We're going out there and bringing them here to Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus ain't knocking on their door.
Right.
That's you and I's job, right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's what we do. I want you to notice that the people around him did not make him go to Jesus either. You come here, there's a bunch of gentlemen and ladies in this church. There's nobody going to force you to come to an altar. There's nobody going to force you to do anything here. We do what we do here because we love God and we fall in love with God.
Amen.
We do this because of what God has done for us, not because somebody's pushing us in the back, that's telling us to go do something.
Amen.
That was free. Sorry. Yeah. Verse 50 said, and he, casting away his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. This is a crucial point. After we have cried out, and after we have stopped God, after we have listened to the message of those that follow Christ, we must then act on our faith and move out of our comfort zone and come to Jesus. We have to act on our own faith. We are the ones that's going to have to move then. It's up to us to respond to the power of God and follow after him. This guy, he was all in. He threw away his blind man's garment. He did not plan on being blind anymore. He did not want to look like a blind man anymore. He got up from the beggar's seat. He got up even though there was many people there that wanted to keep him down. He left the horrible memories, the humiliating place of the blind people, and he came to Jesus. It took effort on his part.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Jesus is here.
Thank you, Lord.
He's here.
Thank you, Lord.
That's not Jesus right there, that drum enclosure, that pretty pulpit right there with those two keys on it. That's not Jesus. That organ and that speaker and that's a keyboard and that other keyboard back there and all those. That's not Jesus. This place is not Jesus, but yet Jesus has chosen that wherever two or three are gathered in His name, that's where I'm going to come out of the midst of them. And Jesus has come here and has stopped because somebody said, I need you, Lord. I need something from you. He heard you. He heard your cry. He heard you. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting there with all the other beggars and all the other people. He had a dress a certain way. Everybody knew that he was a beggar. Everybody knew that he was a poor man. Everybody knew that he didn't belong with the normal people. That's the way we were before we come to God. Everybody could see us. They could see we was an alcoholic. They could see that we was a drug addict. They could see that we was a thief and a robber. They could see that we was untrustworthy. We sat with everybody else that was just like us. But when we get tired of living the way that we're living, we're going to do something to get the attention of God. We're going to take off those things. I don't want that. I don't want anybody to associate me with that again. Where are you at? I got to find him. I want to get to where he is. I don't want to sit there anymore. I don't want to look like that anymore. I got to change. Your response matters. Your response matters. Jesus stopped. But he didn't say, okay, where's that guy that was calling me? I've got to talk to him. He's got a need. I've got to find him. Where's he at? Which one of them is it? I got to find which one is. Which one said, God, I need you? Which one? No. Jesus is here, and he's waiting. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Your prayer, your cry, your heart that's begging and calling out for God for relief and change has God's attention. You've stopped Him. But the next thing is, it's us. It's our responsibility. We've got to get up and we've got to come to where He is. Oh, it's amazing, Brother Josh, that you and I can get the attention of the Almighty God. Not because we're anything special. My dad was born in Arkansas. Moved to California when he's 6 weeks old. My dad is only 5'9" or 5'8", or was at his height. He's not a big man. He's not a rich man. He has no stature in life. He has anything. That's not what made me to get the attention of God. That's not what stopped God when I got on my knees and I began to cry out to God for the Holy Ghost. When I began to cry out to God to change my life, it's not because of who my dad was. It's not because of who my friends were. It's not because of my pedigree. It's not because of the color of my skin. It's not because of how much money I had in my wallet or on my banking account. It's because I got tired of living the way that I was living, and I reached out to somebody that had the power to change my life.
Thank you, Lord.
This guy was all in. That's the way it is when we come to God. If we really want God to change our lives, we have to go all in. There's a lot of people who will come to church, and they will visit us, and we thank God for all of our visitors that always comes to visit with us, and they will get touched. And they will love what they feel. And they would like to hear the worship. And it makes them feel better. And they'll leave. And they'll tell everybody, I felt so much better being there. It makes them feel different. But there's something about it. When you get to a place when feeling is not enough.
That's right.
I got to have more than just a feeling. Now, I never did drugs before in my life. But they tell me that you will never, ever experience the same high as the first time when you try a new drug. That's the best time and the best you'll ever feel, the highest you'll ever get off of that one thing. That's what drives people to take more of it, more of it, more of it, and try something else and something different because they can never, ever get that same. I'm going to tell you something. The first time I come to God and when I surrendered my life to God, I felt this great, wonderful being. It changed my life. It changed my attitude. It changed the way I talked. It changed the way that I walked. It changed everything about me. Guess what? Today, 36 years later, I can still feel that same feeling. I don't have to go find something different. I've got a God, and I know that changed me beyond a shadow of a doubt, and He's still with me today. amazing what God can do
if we're willing to get his attention and change the narrative. Jesus came to Jericho. Jesus was leaving Jericho and had a whole bunch of people following him. Jesus would have went wherever he was going at that time and would have continued on. But yet somebody decided, I got to get his attention. And I want to stop him.
What would have happened? What would he put in the word of God there? It would have been Jesus went to Jericho and Jesus left to Jericho with a bunch of people. But there was this man called Bartimaeus that said, you know what? I need something more than that. I need something more than that. Verse number 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, what will that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received, not 6 weeks later.
Right.
Not take this pill and take this vitamin and after a while you'll start feeling a little better and come back and see me for some more. And no, you better take this pill now and this vitamin and a little bit more. Maybe we need to go to therapy now and have them push on the temples and do this. And you're going to get, no, immediately. Right. When God changes a life, it's an immediate thing.
Yeah.
Check out what happens next. Jesus told him, go your way. But Bartimaeus, the scripture said, verse 52, said, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The Lord told him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. But Bartimaeus was touched by God. He was healed by God. I tell you what, the wise people become followers.
Right.
Amen.
Not just partakers.
Right.
Don't hang around with others just to see what's going on. Don't come around just for a better social experience. But come to church with an expectancy.
Oh,
there's something there, and yes, I'm not going home the same way that
right,
I can.
Right.
I'm coming there a different person. I'm going to come there the way I am, and I'm leaving a different person. There's going to be something different in me. When we act out our faith, when we put some works with our faith, it changes the narrative. It changes everything about us. When we're willing to get out of our comfort zone, when we're willing to stand up when everybody else is sitting down, when we're willing to worship when everybody else is tired or whatever it is, when we're willing to go forth and say, let me lift my hands and talk to you, God, when everybody else has got other things to do, when we're willing to step out, we will get God's attention. We will stop God.
Right.
We got God stopped. Oh. And it's just you and him. You begin to talk to him. God, let me tell you this little story I got. And you know what? He loves to hear his people get his attention and begin to talk to him.
Right.
And when he gets it, I tell you what, when I have this little guy named Gavin Cole, Matt Giannis, come over to my house, it's my grandson, and he comes over and he says, Hi Yi, that's my name, Hi Yi. I told him I wanted to be called G-Paw. And somehow or another, he called me Hi Yi, and that's the best name in the world you can get. Hi Yi Smith. But when he comes up there and says, Hi Yi, and he wants to tell me about his drum set, and he wants to tell me about stuff. You know what? I don't care that the lawn needs to be mowed. I don't care that there's another claim coming in on my computer in there. I'm sitting right there. I want to hear what Gavin has to say. There's something about it when he gets my attention. He's got all of my attention, whatever he wants. When he comes over on Thursday nights after church to spend the night, because Fridays is Donut Fridays with Nana, and he says, Hi-Yi, what kind of donut do you want? Do you want a green one? Do you want mama sprinkles on top? Hey, that's what my God is like. He's coming here and, hey, my son is calling out to me. My son has got my attention. I'm sorry, I'm not worried about anything else. Yes. God, let me tell you, I love you this much. Oh, you're offering God a donut with sprinkles on top. He likes green donuts with sprinkles on top. God, I want to tell you how much I love you, God, for what you did to me when I was a sinner and nobody else could love me. And you loved me in spite of all of my sins. Oh, that's like something sweet coming out to the Lord. Hey, I'd like to hear that too. Yes, son, what else? God, I want to tell you. you. I thank you when my child is burning up with fever and I took him to you and you healed him immediately. Oh, I like hearing that. What else can I do for you, son? We get God's attention and it changes everything.
Everything.
You don't believe me? Try it. That's a challenge. That's a double dog dare, as we used to say when we was kids. I challenge you, try it. You can't outgive God.
Right.
You can't out-worship God.
No.
You can't do too much for God.
Right.
Because He's done so much for us.
Right.
He's done so much for us. Now, I testify to the fact that I've never did drugs before. Matter of fact, I was 23 years old before I had my first Tylenol. I think it was. That was the first thing I got. I was never even went to a doctor one time except for to have a physical for a job for any reason whatsoever until I was like 23 or 24 years old. I know what it's like to live in the presence of God. I know what it's like to live there and have God be my doctor.
Amen.
You say you was never sick, walking pneumonia, sick in bed for 10 days. They thought for sure enough that I was going to die. Then my dad got it. My dad was sick for 3 weeks right after that. But you know what? God raised me up and God healed me. I remember the time that on a Sunday afternoon, on a February, I believe it is, the 12th, I got kicked out of a tree in my backyard. I was standing around a tree and my elbow was kicked completely out of place. I landed on my elbow and my elbow bone that goes right there. Most normal people, that's where their elbow is anyways. My elbow was right there. My arm went like this, down this way, up this way, and over that way. And I jumped up, said, "It's broke! It's broke! It's broke!" As I began to run to the house, everybody's like in shock and amazement. My arm would hit me here, and my arm would go all the way around behind me, hit me there. It was just totally loose. It was all over the place. And I went inside, and Mama, you know how Mama's are. She gets me and lays me down on the couch, and I'm crying. You would too. I was crying and Mama was there, but it wasn't making it feel any better. My dad was taking a nap. My dad come out of the back room. My dad pastors a church, and this December will be 50 years. My dad has pastored the same church, and he came in there and he said, when he come out of his bedroom and he come in there and he saw my arm, he said it made him sick. And he turned right around, didn't say anything, turned right around his room, turned right around, went back to his room, laid down on the floor, and begin to pray and talk to God. God told him, says, you need to go in there and set that arm. My dad's initials is DR, Donnie Ray, but he's not a doctor. And he came out of there and said, son, what do you want to do? He said, do you want to go to the doctor? I said, no, Dad, no. I seen a needle about that long that guy was going to stuff inside my arm. No way in the world I want to go see a doctor. I said, no. He says, well, son, we're going to have to set it. I said, don't touch it. He said, son, we're going to have to set it. And my dad took a hold of that arm and set that arm. Now, I've got a question to ask you. If you guys can see, my arm is normal. You see all those muscles? No.
Wait, there you go.
How can you give up? It's normal. You see that, right? It works, right? You agree?
Yeah.
It's normal. Now, I got a question. Which way did my elbow come out? Did it come out and come this way? Or my elbow come out and go that way? And if you was to set it, which way would you put it back?
Yeah.
I tell you what, only God knows. Yeah. And God allowed it to be put back in the right place. And so I know about the healing power of God.
Amen.
When I told you I hadn't been to a doctor in my lifetime until I was married and older, it was because I didn't have any problems in my life, but God is a miracle working God. God can do anything and everything.
Yes.
You know the reason why? You know the reason why that's okay? Because I had a man of God, it happened to be my dad, but I had a man of God that got on his face and began to talk to the Lord, and the Lord told him how to fix the problem. You see, when we come to church, we're no longer by ourselves.
Right.
It's us by ourselves saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It's our effort to get up and come to an altar and ask God to forgive us of our sins. But after you do that, guess what? You get a great big old huge family.
Right.
Then And everybody from then on said, hey, brother, you're a little down. Let's go to the altar and let's talk to the Lord. You got somebody to go with you. It's not so hard the next time because you've got brothers and sisters with you. Does that make sense?
Right.
And here's the thing. God gives you a pastor. The Bible says, I give you pastors after my own heart that will talk to him, will get a word from the Lord, and knows exactly what we need. Right. It's not always what we want.
Right.
Don't touch it. But we've got to set it. Don't touch it. But we've got to set it. There's sometimes we come in and we're broken, we're out of joint, we're all messed up. We don't want anybody to touch us. But the man of God's been talking to the Lord, and the Lord says, you know what? He's a little bit out of a joint right now. But son, come on, I'm going to help you right now. And the man of God gets a hold of you and begins to talk to you and begins to preach to you and give you the word of God. And next thing you know, you're back in place where you need to be. And God has worked another miracle. God knows what we need. So, I say all of that to say this. I've been waiting to say that for a long time. I hear that all the time. Our response matters.
Amen.
He spoke the word into existence. Teachers in school are telling you that 400 billion years ago, two little microscopic neutrons or protons or something like that was inside this little bitty bubble, and they hit together and it caused a huge explosion, and somewhere so many millions of years later it began to cool down, and it began to cool down, and all of a sudden things begin to form. That's how we all come about. They've got more faith than I do. My Bible says that Jesus spoke it into existence, and I believe there's a God that spoke it into existence,
yeah,
and that he formed the world with his own hands. You read in the Word, that's what it says.
Yes.
I can imagine, I can picture a God that's up there designing things a lot more than, oh, wow, look, boom, they're right together. Oh, wow, that little big thing turned into all of this. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. They got more faith than I do. But imagine this, the God that created all the universe. He created everything. He created you and I so intricately different, but yet so much is in favor for him. This God that sets, the scripture says, he sets on the circle of the earth. He says heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. He's got different positions he gets in too. This God that has everything under control,
everything.
Yet he is not too busy. He is not too arrogant.
That's right.
He's not too lofty or high that you and I can't get his attention.
That's right.
Yes.
There's some here that come to this church house today. You can write it down if you want to. That's got a need and got a problem. And now this is a prophecy. Let's say it, Daryl Smith. There's some people in this place that's going to go home the same way they came when they don't have to.
Right.
How can I say that with certainty? Because you're a human. Homo sapien. I think it's the scientific word for it. You're a man. You're a woman. We come and we do the same things. We don't believe that there is a God that will listen to us.
Right.
I don't deserve it. Neither do you. And neither does anybody else. But yet he does.
Right.
Love us. Apostle Peter denied him. God, I will go with you to the end. I will die for you. You was one of them. No, I wasn't. Yes, you was. I saw you with him. No, I wasn't. And then he had to add a little flair to it and start cursing at him. Oh, I was not. See, I don't even sound like I was with him. He tried to really make it there. He denied the Lord. But yet the Lord, when he came back from the grave, he went and searched out Peter first. Peter denied God. But yet he says, I'm coming to get you, Peter, and I want you to know that I want you. And God has come today, regardless of your situation, regardless of who you are, where you are in life, to tell you that I love you so much, I died on the cross for you. Sister Sherry, please help me. I died on the cross. I gave my life for you. He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities.
Oh,
if we're willing to get his attention, He's not going to force himself on us. He's not going to come down to us and say, you're a bad, bad boy, and you've done this, this, and this. Get this right, change this, fix that, change this, move this around, move this over there, change this over here, go over here, do this. He's not going to come to us like that. The only way we get God to change everything in our lives is when we come to Him and we get His attention. We're the sinners. He's the Savior. We're the one in need. He's the one that has all our needs. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. He's the one that's got the riches and glory. We're the one that's poor. He's the one that's right. We're the one that's wrong. But yet when we come to God and we give Him everything, He makes everything right. He makes everything right. If you've experienced God that way in your life, why don't you lift your hands right now? Let's begin to talk to God. God, I want your attention. God, I want your attention. I'm embarrassed of who I am, God. I'm embarrassed of what I've been, Lord. I'm sad by the fact of what I've done in my life. Lord, would you stop and you come by here? Would you stop and come by here, Lord? Would you touch me? Would you change my life? Come on, cry out to God. Goes like this, I give all myself to you. Here I am. He wants us to come to Him. His altars are open. Here I am. Here I am. I'm gonna respond to you, God. Let your Spirit here I am. Come on, reach to the Lord today. Why don't you come and try Him? Try Him that He's good. Here I am. The same healers here today. The same Savior's here today. I give all myself, that's our part, I give to you. Here I am. He wants to be your helper. He wants to be your friend. He can do all of that. Here I am, Lord. It's going to be take you and I giving ourselves to Him.
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord. Here I am.
Here I am.
I've thrown off the beggarly garments of a blind man. I've thrown off all of the things that don't look like you, Jesus. I don't want to go back to the same place that I was. I don't want to go back to the same way I was. I don't want to look that way. I don't want to associate that way. I love what I feel, God. I want you to change me. I'm a blind person. I want to see you for who you are. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I give all myself to you. Here I am. response matters. Give ourselves to Him.